It's another girl. She's embarrassed and her boobs are way too big. No, take my picture. And she's lying on the letter S. And there's one guy in the whole clip. And the girl jumps on his back. And what does she do? She bites his ear. Fade to white.
Song Real Love, Real Life by Sphere from the anime Ichiban Ushiro no Daimao, and this is podcast episode number 42 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous. You can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, and nerdnexus.com or addnetwork.net. So, I'm Kimiko, as always, and some of our other hosts for today's episode are...
Mitsuki, how's everybody doing?
Chiaki here.
Hatsuki here too.
Yay! We also have some new forum members that we would like to welcome with open arms. Crush735, Spike Forever, Orca Owl, Tribal08, Cool Name, Acro Year, Fullmetal Medic, Mr. Wolf, and Gungrave86. So,
Yay!
A
lot of those people are people that visited us at SuperCon.
Yes, which. Hi, guys!
Thank you for stopping by our booth!
Yeah, we really like talking to you.
It was kind of fun. Oh, and we also have a birthday. Saber is turning 22.
Ameto Tanjobi!
It's your party! You can cry if you want to, but you won't cry because you're listening to our podcast. Yay!
Yay!
Oh, God.
That was lame. I'm sorry.
You are lame.
I like it.
So lame. We also have a trivia winner this week. Cool Name! Yay! The answer was Dabura from DBZ, and the new question has been posted. So congratulations, Cool Name, for your trivia win.
And your cool name.
And your cool name.
Thanks.
And your epic avatar of Beckness.
I just want to say thank God, no offense, green gentlemen, but you got this question right too, and I was praying to heaven that you wouldn't be selected, because to have you win 3 weeks in a row would look bad.
A little bit, yeah.
So yay!
And continuing shall lead into SuperCon's awesomeness!
Yay, SuperCon! Alright.
Just got back from SuperCon, and man, are my feet tired.
And my throat.
My throat's tired.
What?
That's what she said.
How are your knees? No, I'm just kidding. That was bad.
Oh, they actually hurt.
Oh. I'm cradling my new Black Star plushie from Soul Eater that I got Brittany Karbowski, the voice of Black Star, to sign for me. He's like my favorite plushie in the world right now. No offense to all my other plushies that are glaring at me from my shelf.
I think you have a disorder.
Plushophilia.
Yes. No.
Oh God, no.
Fine.
No, I only have like 6 plushies, and Black Star right now is my favorite. Okay. Because he's Black Star.
Funny story. I put that little red Mario mushroom that I bought on like my TV stand, and I just did my P90X and took a shower and stuff, and I came back and noticed, or Chalky noticed, that it was gone. And no one else moved it, so I'm guessing that Cornelius, my cat, must have ambushed it and carried it off in the
we
depths of the apartment.
We have no idea where it went. I was like, I just was looking at the TV and I was like, Mitsuki, did you move the mushroom? Like, no. I haven't even seen Neil, a cat, go near the TV at all.
Well, I thought the cat looked significantly larger.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Must have eaten it. Anyway, so we also got some exciting new people at the SuperCon, tentatively. Troy Baker. Yaya Han and Brittany.
Yep.
Brittany Karbowski.
For anyone who may not know, Yaya Han is a professional cosplay model, and her cosplay is amazing. Like amazing, amazing.
YayaHan.com. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
You'll love it.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with the names Troy Baker and Brittany Karbowski, Brittany Karbowski did the voice of Black Star in Soul Eater, and also a couple of other smaller roles that I can't recall. But Troy Baker, Hatake knows more about Troy Baker than I do.
Excalibur. I like your shirt. Excalibur. It's very schoolgirl.
I just want to say, guys, listeners, for anyone who wants to feel like they were at SuperCon, just rewind the episode to the point where Kimiko said, Black Star!
Hey, don't even go there, Hatake. You know you were doing it, too. Here, I'll even do it for you again. Black Star!
Yeah. I'm just teasing you. Like, I'm not mad.
Well, you should be. I'd be annoyed. But I can't help myself.
I'm too amused to be annoyed. I'm like, that is still interesting for them? Wow.
But it's kind of like how at the camping trip, Chiaki, how you told me that my laugh was really loud, and I thought that you were all offended by my laugh for most of the trip.
No. I'm just observation.
I really can't help that.
You can't help your Black Star personality.
All right, so what kind of awesomeness do we have in this very, very full episode tonight?
Right. First off, our main topic of the evening is going to be a SuperCon recap and interviews. Basically, we're going to talk about the con in general, and you know the sights and sounds, everything that we did, everything that you know we were a part of, and we're also going to be doing interviews that we got from people at the con. So that's going to be really interesting. Then we're going to take an anime news break as per usual, and our main topic for this episode is going to be the summer anime season for 2010. Don't be too excited, because most of these aren't very awesome. At least most of mine aren't.
I'm excited.
No, mine are crap.
I'm pretty excited.
And then after a second anime news break, we will go on to reviews. Mitsugi will be reviewing Berserk, and I will be reviewing Wolf's Rain.
All right, so SuperCon.
Right. So, main topic, SuperCon. Recap and interviews. Go!
SuperCon was a lot of fun. I kind of want to talk about our panels first. The first panel that we did, it was on the first day in the afternoon. It was my The Best Animes You've Never Seen panel, and it was a disaster. I got there, and 30 minutes beforehand is when I arrived up there, because I wanted to make sure that I could set up all the equipment. There was no equipment for video. Normally, there's supposed to be like a mixer and a speaker and a projector and a screen and all kinds of stuff, and there was nothing. And I was like, oh, good God. So I ran downstairs, and I swear to God, I talked to every single staff
member.
Just
as a note, too, Mitsuki went to the staff about 2 hours, an hour and a half beforehand and said, I need a projector. And they're like, oh, don't worry. There'll be a projector when it comes time.
Oh, and when it came time, it wasn't there. So not only was the panel was like 30 minutes late, and not only that, it was strongly inadequate even after all the equipment eventually arrived, and plus most people had left. So my panel basically got ruined. But you guys had much more successful panels, so why don't you guys talk about those for a few minutes?
Oh, yeah. No, our panel went really well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't packed or anything like that. I think we had probably like 20, 25 people.
It got off to a slow start because, unfortunately, you know, you live and learn, and next year I think we'll request a more specific time. Because our panel started right at the opening of the dealer's room on Saturday. And Saturday is, of course, the most packed day. But everyone wants to start at the dealer's room and, like, get that hour of, like, oh my god, look at all the anime stuff. So it took about 15 minutes for people to, like, trickle in.
But the people who trickled in were really sweet, and I think they enjoyed it. It was funny. We had some laughs.
We did have some laughs.
And actually,
using an iPhone with gloves on.
Yes. About that.
And your panel, and your guys' panel recording is on the website.
Yep.
So for anybody who wants to go listen to it, you just go to the SuperCon Multimedia section of the website, and you can actually listen to the entire panel.
And, well, not well, SuperCon Multimedia section of our website, just to be clear.
Right, of our website, not of SuperCon's.
We recorded it. It is completely unedited. How you hear it is how it went.
Exactly.
And then I rounded out our panels. I did a traveling to Japan panel. Everything you need to know before heading to the land of the rising sun from a fellow gaijin.
And it kicked ass.
Yeah, I was actually really kind of shocked. I was like, this many people want to know about this? Okay, let's go.
How many people came?
I have no idea.
I would guess it was 200 plus.
All I know is the room was full and people were standing in the back.
Yeah, it was full.
Like, damn.
It was really full. And we were in a big room, too. Like, we weren't one of the small panel rooms. But it went really well. I put the PowerPoint up on our website, also under the SuperCon Multimedia section. All you gotta do is, you go to our top page, and there's, like, a SuperCon banner, like, right above the news. And that'll take you to it, and you can find it there. It's a giant PowerPoint, because I used so many pictures. But I actually had someone contact me, questioning about traveling to Japan.
Yeah,
so someone's already emailed me. So if you have questions about traveling to Japan, I will not claim to be the end-all be-all of knowledge, but I am happy to be a helpful resource for anyone who could need it.
So. I know I'm going to you for my Japan traveling questions.
I will gladly help you out, because, trust me, I pretty much covered a lot of experiences while I was there, both good and bad. Like that whole, this wasn't my experience, but it was one of my friends, of the train stop at 11:30. Most people would assume that means the train goes to the last stop on its run after 11:30 and doesn't pick up, like, any new people. No, what that means is wherever the train is at 11:30, it stops. And at your stop, you have a taxi ride.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So why don't we move on and talk about our cosplays a little bit?
I know. Yay!
I only had one cosplay. I did Isaac from Bakano on the second day.
It was fabulous.
We all did Bakano.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a Bakano group cosplay. And we were the only Bakano people there, to my knowledge.
Yeah, it kind of sucked. Nobody really recognized us. I mean, we got a couple of good shots. A couple of people asking, to take our picture and stuff like that, but...
But you guys did lots of other cosplays, I mean, that I thought got a much better response.
I think the one that got the most response for me, I'd originally planned on cosplaying Graham Spector, also from Bakano, but when that didn't get much response, and dressing in the entirety of coveralls all day would have been really, really freaking hot, I decided to go as Winry from Fullmetal Alchemist, which was, like, probably the best for people asking me to take pictures and stuff, and it was a pretty decent cosplay for putting it on, like, the morning of the con. Mm. So,
and if you are interested, though, in her Graham cosplay, it is now her bio picture.
It is. Hatsuke took the picture, and it is beautiful.
Speaking of Hatsuke taking pictures, we did a photo shoot beforehand, and unfortunately not every single costume is on there, but it's the AAA host cosplay, again, under the multimedia section on the webpage, and that has some pictures of the cosplay we did. Yay!
Mm-hmm. Yay!
I do think, though, my favorite cosplay for the weekend was definitely Hatake and I cosplayed as Izaya and Shizuo from Durarara.
That was definitely our most popular.
Yeah, it was.
Jeez.
It was so much fun. But yeah,
it was fun, and people were running up to us the next day going, oh my gosh, you guys were Shizuo and Izaya, and we were
even
like,
dressed
yeah.
in our Bakano cosplay. Which
and they were all like, oh my god, you guys were so cool. Like, they were coming up to us in, like, the food court.
It was awesome.
Man, I didn't even see the food court, because I didn't buy any food. But we also talked to a lot of really cool people at the con, too.
Indeed.
Made some friends.
Yeah.
And
we actually set up a mic at the at our table. We sat some people down and just asked them stuff about their con experience, and it was really fun. Unfortunately, though, the table next to us had a lot of tech set up, and we tested it at first, and everything was going fine, but something must have gotten either flipped on, and I don't want to blame the people next to us, because even if it was them, it wasn't intentional, obviously. But unfortunately, one way or another, some of our files got interference when it was recording and some things were lost. But we did hear from a lot of people from the con, but if you don't hear your recording, that's why, and we're really sorry for that.
So you guys want to take a quick break, and we'll hear from some of the people at the con.
Alright, so this is Chiaki, and who do I have with me?
Light Yagami.
Light, so I'm guessing you are doing a cosplay right now.
Yes, I am.
How did you choose what cosplay to do?
Me and my friend, Shalai here, we've been looking at Death Note a lot, so it's like, okay, let's do Death Note.
Awesome. Is it your favorite anime?
Well, one of my favorite anime is what you have on.
So you like Bakano then?
Yeah, I do.
Have you seen any other great cosplays here at SuperCon that you like?
Yeah, I seen, Code Geass, Sailor Moon, let me see, a lot of, Fullmetal Alchemist, pretty much.
Awesome, well, thanks for sitting and talking with me, it was a lot of fun.
I had fun too.
Awesome! So, this is Chiaki again, and who am I here with?
Karin Maka.
Nice to have you with us, and who are you cosplayed as?
I am cosplayed as Karin Maka from Chibi Vampire Karin.
Awesome, and what made you pick that cosplay?
Mainly because I've seen the anime so many times, and it's high time I decided to do a cosplay, and my best friend actually made it for a grad present for me, so yeah.
Aw, that was such a nice friend. Yeah. Have you seen anyone else cosplaying from that anime?
Nope. Right now it's just me and my best friend. She's the little sister and I'm the big sister.
Well, that must be a lot of fun. Has anything great happened while you were here at SuperCon?
Yes. Someone actually came up to me and actually recognized me and said, "Oh my God, I love you." It just gave me an exhilaration of excitedness.
Yay! Well, that's so exciting, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much for interviewing me.
So, this is Chiaki here again, and we have a very special guest with us right now. So, tell us who you are.
My name is Yijin Tuong, and I'm the guy behind Cosplay America, which is that book about cosplay in America.
Do you want to tell us more about your book? I mean, I looked at it yesterday, and I looked through it, and the pictures were beautiful, and it was really an interesting book. So, do you want to, like, tell the listeners more about the process of making that book and things like that?
The crazy thing is I kind of got started because I thought, I've seen cosplay books, and they're always from Asia, and I never seen one about Americans as well. I mean, it was Cosmo, that glamorous issue, but really, there's only like 6 pages, I think, of American cosplayers, and they're all mostly from Southern California. I'm like, that's not really the entire scope of it.
Yeah.
So last year, I went around to 6 conventions in America, and those are Anime Expo, Otakon, Akon, Anime Fest, Fanime, and Anime Week Atlanta, and I took it along my little office, is what I called it for people, which is a backdrop, and I took about 1,600 cosplayers over a course of 5 months.
Wow, that's a lot of cosplayers. How did you, like, filter, how did you narrow it down? I mean, how many cosplayers are actually in the book, about?
There's about 260, and basically what I did is, it was like a big puzzle to me. I had to kind of fit it together and see how it fits with each other on each page. And I also went by color scheme and my gut feeling about what I saw, like personality wise and what I felt when I looked at a photograph, basically.
That's really cool. Like, what, how was the process of getting it published? I mean, were publishing houses, did they even know what cosplay was?
I decided to self-publish it myself because I didn't think they would know how to actually, I don't think they would know what to do with a book.
Right.
But right. I was like, you know what? I have credit cards. I can, you know, front a book, why not? So I just did it.
So who would you recommend this book for, other than maybe the obvious cosplay fan?
I think photographers would probably get a kick out of it. Gamers, I went to E3 to the after parties and I showed books to out there and people, they were thrilled about it.
Awesome. So for those listening who I know are interested in the book, how can you get this book? Where do you go to find out information about this book?
Oh, it's cosplayamerica.com, and I also have a Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, DA, Flickr, YouTube. I do like video blogs every 2 weeks or every con I go to, basically.
Yes, Cosplay in America, new friend of the AAA, and we love this book, so go out and get it. All right, thanks, guys. Chiaki.
Thank you. Adios.
All right, so this is Chiaki here again with one of my favorite people at SuperCon. And that is Manriku.
Hey.
Yeah, if you guys remember, we talked about him way at the beginning of the start of our podcast, and he's back. He's here.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
So, who are you? I knew you were not Manriku today. Who are you currently cosplaying?
I'm actually cosplaying Vivi from Final Fantasy IX.
With the sorting hat?
With the sorting hat and all.
You look great. You look great. Did you make your costume yourself?
I did. I made every part of my costume.
So what have you done at this con so far? That's fun.
I actually ended up judging the improv contest, which you were part of, and you won second place.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I've seen a lot of really old friends that actually came to SuperCon the first time I came, which was last year.
That was my first time too.
Yeah, that was really awesome.
So, is there anything still in the con that you're looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to the costume contest, of course. Yeah. I love seeing all the work that everyone puts into it. What else? Oh, the Super Smash Brothers, the Brawl show. Is that today?
Yeah, that's today.
Oh, then yes, that is gonna be awesome because we know a few people like Ariel from the improv. She's gonna be in it.
Is she gonna be Ariel?
No.
Oh.
That would be awesome though.
That would be awesome. I'd love to see Ariel get Super Smash Brothers smacked.
I know.
I don't know. I'd get pleasure out of that. Anyways, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Oh, you're welcome.
And have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. So, who do I have with me now?
I'm Jay.
And who are you cosplaying?
I'm cosplaying Cosmo from the Fairy Odd Parents. Ha ha!
And he does have a floaty crowny thing.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And that is not an innuendo. He really does.
Yeah, it was really hard to get it to float, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That whole gravity thing, I know it's hard to deal with sometimes.
Oh, God. 9.8 meters per second squared, it's a pain, let me tell you.
Yeah. So, what have you done thus far at the con?
Oh, my gosh. What haven't I done? The cool thing is that I met the Iron Sheik. I've always been a big fan of his wrestling. I met Kevin Nash, another wrestler. Got a couple of cool commissions done by really awesome artists here. I did the Who's Cosplay Is It Anyways panel.
You did it really well, if I might say so myself.
Oh, thank you. So did you.
Oh, thank you.
Getting second place?
Yeah.
Second place.
Oh.
And it's been great fun. I've been really looking forward to this con.
Did you meet any old friends or anything like that?
Many, many, many. So it's just been wonderful.
Have you planned your next cosplay at all?
Well, this was really my big one doing Cosmo for this time around. I had a couple other ones, but I was a complete idiot, and I left like two very important pieces of my cosplays back home.
Oh, no.
Yes. For very good reasons, my girlfriend got kind of mad at me because one of those cosplays was for her.
Oh.
But, you know, everything. In the end, we still have enough to share. And we're still just having a good time.
Great. So do you think it's better to go to a con with your significant other or alone?
I think that really depends on the person. I've gone to many cons by myself. I've had great fun, you know, just jumping between group to group. Which is kind of what I've been doing here. She's of the same mind. So really, if you guys are compatible, if you find yourself compatible to be with your significant other up and down, that's cool. Either way, if you don't want to spend all the time together, you can just split up and just enjoy the con each on your own. So it's really just, yeah, either way, it works.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Have a good one.
So then, yeah, let's continue with some of the sights and sounds and favorite experiences of the con then. How about that?
Oh, that sounds good. I can do that.
Yeah. I guess we can talk about some of the favorite panels that we went to. I know that my favorites were personally the voice actor Q&As.
Definitely.
Oh, especially the round table that they did at the end.
Thundercats. Oh, shit, I just started too high.
There was a panel, or not really a panel, but just kind of like a Q&A between four voice actors, not of the Anime Society, which was different. They were Larry Kenny, who does the voice of Lion-O in Thundercats. There was Dana Snyder, who's like Master Shake in... Master Shake is in which?
Aqua Teen,
thank you. Master Shake in Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and a couple of others in things like Squidbillies and Venture Brothers and stuff on Adult Swim. And then there was Richard Horvitz.
Yes!
Who is the voice of Invader Zim, or Zim from Invader Zim, and Daggett from Angry Beavers, which I think was... Which I think was Hatake's personal favorite, right?
Oh my gosh, I love Angry Beavers so much.
But yeah, they were funny people. So those were my favorite, were the Q&As and the panels with all of the voice actors. But as Hatake and I, you know, have said before, we are voice actor junkies, so those are what we tend to strive to go to anyway.
I didn't really have a whole lot of panels that I was interested in. Normally I go to panels, like, all the time. But... honestly, like, I just didn't see anything on their agenda that really interested me too much. I mean, we all went to the Super Smash Bros. Show, and even that I thought wasn't as good as last year.
Really?
Not even close. And, the Hentai Cafe was fun, but that was basically the exact same thing as the year before also. But
the candy sushi was good.
I know what my favorite panel was, and you should have thought of this. It was Daryl from Anime World Order.
Yeah, Daryl from Anime World Order was there, and we sat in on his panel, listened to him. I'm glad that they got his tech set up. I'm glad that my struggle could pave the way for future panels. But his panel was good. It was on. He was recommending anime to people, and we got to meet him, and that was cool. But I honestly, Chucky, I thought your panel was, like, the best one I saw the whole time.
Aww.
It had the best response from the people in the audience, at least. At least I thought.
You're such a sweetie.
I'm not just saying that either. But, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot else at SuperCon, was there? I mean,
it was a pretty slow con. I even heard from some of the people that I knew who were meeting us there that, this SuperCon, as compared to some of the last ones from previous years, just was not nearly as active as they normally are. So,
although I do have another favorite part, when Wanda got proposed to.
Oh, it was so sweet.
It really was cute.
At the costume contest, and we had met them before, which made it even cooler, but there were these two people, and they're great people, and they were cosplayed as Cosmo and Wanda from the Fairly Odd Parents, and they were called up to the stage for a quote-unquote special judges award, which ended up being the man who was Cosmo getting down on one knee to his girlfriend. So, and she said yes, and it was adorable.
It really was. So yeah, that was pretty much mostly what we thought of the con and its awesomeness and its events and panels and the wonderful people who came by our booth who played bingo with us and got their pictures taken, which can also be found on the multimedia page on our site. So, I think it was a very, very cool first time being a podcast table at a con.
Yeah, we actually had fans come by and see us. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. I felt special.
Oh.
But yeah, so I guess now we'll go off onto a short anime news break, and we'll be back with our main topic in a few.
Hey everybody, welcome, it's your first dosage of anime news. To get things started, it seems that we have two very popular long-running mangas finally coming to an end. The first was announced by Japanese publisher Shogakukan and confirmed in their weekly issue of Shonen Sunday magazine that Takuya Mitsuda's major baseball manga is nearing its end after 15 years. The story follows a young boy named Goro, and the son of a major league batter who dreams of making it into the big time himself. The manga inspired its first television anime series in 2004, also titled Major, and has since created 6 seasons and also an anime movie. The 31st issue of Weekly Shonen Sunday, which does not actually contain the final chapter of the Major manga, will ship on June 30th. The second of the two mangas is Ouran High School Host Club. The August issue of Hake Sensha's shoujo manga announced that Hattori's romantic comedy will enter its final story arc in the next issue in July. But, the fans of the series, you have something else to look forward to. There is a campaign being created known as Host Club Last Party Fan Campaign. The campaign includes an illustration contest for fan art, and also voting for fans' favorite quotes from the manga, and also favorite title page illustrations. The cast of the Ouran anime adaptation will actually then record the favorite quotes that are submitted, and they will be recorded onto a CD, which will be offered in a mail-away offer starting in the August issue of the Lala magazine in August. So even though Ouran High School is coming to a conclusion, you have one last good thing to look forward to. However, just as some series are coming to a close, other series are being extended. It seems that a flyer was included in a preview sample of the 5th manga for Toaru Kagaku no Railgun, and inside a flyer was placed that contained the confirmation that an OVA is being created for the series. The OVA has been greenlit and is set to release on October 29th. Toaru Kagaku no Railgun is a spin-off from Kazuma Kamachi's Toaru Mujutsu no Index, which also inspired a television series in 2008, and also the Toaru Kagaku no Railgun series, which year. In some completely unrelated news, Kotkun boy band member Jin Akanishi has added 7 more cities to his solo American tour after he had so much success in his Saturday engagement at Club Nokia in Los Angeles. The cities that have been added now include Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Anaheim, and Houston. The tour will run from September through October. Akanishi starred in a live-action drama adaptation of the manga Yukon Club, which featured Kotkun single Keep the Faith as its theme song. That's it for your first anime news. We're back to the show.
That was a wonderful, wonderful anime news break, and I don't know how to contain my joy.
Right. I know how to contain it. In your pants.
In a bottle.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, now we are going to move on to our main topic of brilliance, the summer anime season 2010, and by brilliance, I mean suck.
It does. Okay, all right.
There's two.
It's not that bad. All
there's
right.
like...
Two. Oh, okay. You did not see the trailers for mine.
All right. It's so, back. We're not late, but we're getting close. The new season starts in like 2 weeks. And the first one that I'm going to be doing this season is High School of the Dead. It's the summary is that the world is plunged into chaos when an outbreak of a disposed disease transmitted caused by bites causes people to become the living dead. So it's like Night of the Living Dead style anime, which to my knowledge hasn't been done yet. So I'm kind of interested in that. I did watch the trailer. And I decided that this anime looks like Dead Rising, the video game where you're in the shopping mall and you're just like wailing on zombies. Because in the trailer, they show them just like sprinting across the rooftop, just pounding zombies with like lead pipes and stuff. And I do kind of like the apocalyptic feel that it had. There were a couple images of like the city and ruins and
smoke. Oh my god! Wait, is it a Japanese anime about the apocalypse? The Japanese are like, oh, zombie, a new way to end the world.
My thoughts on this one is that...
That was disturbing.
Any anime with zombies in them, and it looks, at least it's going to be energetic. I can guarantee that. And it's probably not going to be full of tit jokes. So I give this one a potential watch, I would say. So, Kimiko, I know you seem to hate yours, so I'm kind of interested to see which ones you picked.
Yeah, about that. So the first one that I looked up was Shiki, and the, I guess the little synopsis that they have on the site is, during a hot summer in the quiet Sotoba village, bizarre, inexplicable deaths begin to happen, and a strange family move into a long-abandoned mansion. Hospital Dean Toshio Ozaki is caught up with the investigation between hospital staff and the local residents, which sounds like it could have some merit to it, you know? But then I watched the trailer, and the entire thing was, we're just going to show you a bunch of clips of corpses. I'm like, okay, sweet. Only not. And then what's weird is that the thumbnail, the thumbnail is a picture of a chick with pink hair tied up into pigtails with big bows, wearing like a gothic Lolita outfit, and some sort of like bustier object, like a corset tied really tight and all slutty like. And I'm not seeing where they're going with this.
She really reminds me of Cheryl Nome.
I don't know why,
but she really does.
You know what? You know, maybe they're going for, like, a Higurashi thing with it. You know, like, the cute character that just, like, wails and then fucks you in the face?
Maybe. I mean, she seemed a little bubbly in the trailer. I don't know.
Fucking mad.
I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know what to expect because the trailer didn't give me shit. But it might be something interesting. Of all of the ones that I've seen, it's the one that had the best synopsis, anyway, of all of the trailers. So I don't know.
Alright.
I honestly don't know.
Who's next? Atake's next.
Yeah, I am.
You're excited about yours. I can't...
I'm pretty excited about mine. I mean, granted, not all of them were awesome, but... Great. Yeah. Let's see. Well, I picked... I'm just gonna say all of mine at the same time. I picked, Digimon Cross Wars, Okami-san to Shichinin no Nakamatachi, Sengoku Basara 2, and Sekimatsu Occult Gakuin.
Which ones do you like?
I am really excited about Sekimatsu Occult Gakuin. It looks amazing. It looks really pretty, and I don't know, it doesn't look cliche. The music sounds cool. it definitely looks like it's definitely worth a watch, and I haven't seen something about a cult since, like, the Wallflower, and that's not really about a cult.
It's okay. I seem to remember when we were in Kimiko's kitchen, my mentioning that one of the animes was Digimon, and you squealed like a fangirl.
I was excited, because I haven't seen Digimon in years. But it looks pretty good. The trailer was, like, 20 seconds long, so... I was kind of disappointed in that, but it looks okay. I mean, it looks like a typical Digimon series. I just said Digimon.
need they say more about it?
Yeah, there really isn't. They didn't really give anything about the plot. They were just like, Digimon. Cross Wars. That was it. That was like the whole trailer. I was originally, when I read the synopsis of Okami-san to Shichinin no Nakamatachi, I was kind of excited about it, and then I watched the trailer and wasn't very impressed.
Well, what was the trailer like?
It's moe. It's really, really moe. And that's pretty much all I could say. It wasn't subbed, so I didn't really understand half of it, but it just looked like a typical, like, schoolgirl moe anime.
Well, it says that the story centers around Ryoko Okami, girl known for her fierce looks, canine teeth, and wild demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And a short and angelic girl with a deceptively dark demeanor.
That's pretty much it. That's all I got from the trailer.
That they change the world one issue at a time? What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I don't really know. I think it's going to be pretty episodic. I think that's what they're trying to say.
The kid in the picture, the boy in the picture looks like he's going to have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, I gravitated towards that because I thought he was, like, crying, and I was like, oh, jacuzzi! So I was like, this is going to be good, and he does look like he cries a lot, so here's hoping.
Oh, boy.
I'm
fetish
joking.
Much?
I'm joking, kids. I'm joking. Maybe.
Chuck, you need to talk about one of yours.
I'm looking at, or one of the ones that I'm being saddled with, rather, is Occult Academy. And I honestly, I watched the trailer for it, and I don't know how I feel about this, because it's like...
Oh, wait, never mind.
It's like a bundle of cliches all in one, you know? You have the occult, and the, you know, school, and it's a special school, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And in the picture, you have this girl sitting on a guy, and it's just... It looks, it's a comedy story, and I kind of chuckled at points in the trailer to myself. So if you're chuckling from the trailer, it may be funny, because they were like, and they'll deal with, and I can't even remember what it was funny, but it was like they were listing things and they just progressively got more ridiculous, like psychics, like homework, and then like even more ridiculous, like bunnies wearing hats. I mean, that wasn't, like, an actual thing, so someone don't say, that wasn't in the trailer, but, I mean, I just mean it got progressively more and more ridiculous. And it's, I don't know, they study supernatural cases at the Occult Academy. The animation I actually really liked. It was very crisp, and the scenery, not so much the character designs, but the scenery reminded me a lot of Summer Wars, actually.
Hmm.
So I suppose that's a good thing.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But I don't know. It can be good if they play with it rather than just falling into the same old cliches as everything else. So that's a Cult Academy. I don't know. I guess I think it's like the best one I have, to be honest. So.
All right. Well, the second one that I have has perhaps the worst title I've ever heard. Anime. It's called The Legend of the Legendary Heroes.
Yes.
How redundant is that, really? Who the hell wrote that title?
Thank you from the Redundancy Department of Redundancy.
I want to grab them by the collar and slap them.
Shake them like a baby.
The synopsis is, Rhino Ryu always dozes off at the Roland Imperial Special Academy, where he gets caught in the war waged by the kingdom of Esutabu Ryu. He is sent on a quest by the Emperor in spite of the enveloping darkness that has begun to consume the Empire. Alright, that, I don't understand how that's supposed to mean. The trailer, I watched two different trailers. One of them made me put my head in my hands as I merely listened to it, because the entire time they were playing the graduation music, you know, like what you walk to in college, the da 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 da. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like, they played that for 3 straight minutes. Does anybody else find that a little bit weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say about it is that it looks like it's going to have a lot of good action in it. There's a lot of, like, explosions and people using superpowers. One of the kids has, like, a double Lelouch, you know, eyeball thing with, like, the pentagram and the eyes. It looks red. You know what I mean? There's, like, tons of fighting in the trailer. So this is going to be an action anime. And it doesn't look like it's going to have, like... I detected a hint of, like, romance in the trailer, too. So I'm kind of quietly optimistic about this one also. But I am not going to, like... You know, I've been fooled by trailers before. I think it's kind of what they're meant to do. So I'm going to say... people should probably give it a try, but don't be too optimistic about it.
I'm also going to be watching one called... Nurarishion no Mago, and it's basically about this dude named Riku Onura, and he's 3 part human, 1 part demon, and he lives in a house full of spirits with his grandpa, and his grandpa's the head of the Nura clan, and that's a title that Riku is going to have to inherit, even though he doesn't really like his demon side very much. And the trailer was about 40 seconds long, and it was mostly just a continuing shot of Rikuo kind of transforming from his human side to his demon side with a couple of random shots you don't really understand because you don't really know what's going on in between as like a montage. So I don't really know what to expect there either. It probably looks like it'll be the one that'll hold my attention the most. But again, I didn't really get much out of the trailer. Music seemed interesting though, but
what is with the kid's hair? It's like sticking...
It's like Freakazoid.
Yeah, it's like Freakazoid hair.
I don't know, that's just what happens to his hair. I think he's a brunette, if I remember correctly. And he goes from, like, brunette to crazy demon Freakazoid hair. I don't know. But it could be interesting. I think it probably has the most possibility of being a decent anime out of the ones that I have.
Well, it's Studio Dean, so at least it has, like, good people behind it.
Yep.
Also, I didn't mention, but High School of the Dead is Madhouse. That's kind of another reason why maybe we should be optimistic about it. So, Hatake, what else you have for us?
So, Sengoku Basara 2. It looks kind of interesting. I mean, there's some pretty cool costumes, and the characters look awesome. The only thing that I couldn't take seriously was, like, it looked all epic and stuff, and then all of a sudden the trailer says, "Let's party!" I was like, that's not okay. But other than that, I'm kind of looking forward to watching it. It looks pretty cool.
The guy in the back looks like a monkey.
He does look like a monkey, which reminds me of Dragon Ball Z. But the guy with the dude with the eye patch and like the feudal helmet looks pretty kick ass.
Okay, it says it's about two guys who are warriors who form an unlikely alliance to take down the Dark Lord Oda Nobunaga. It kind of sounds like Onimusha Warlords, the video from PS2.
Sonata and Date, young warriors and heated rivals.
Why is Nobunaga always the evil person in anime and games?
I don't know.
I have no idea. This is like the third or fourth time I've seen him being the evil person. But probably an action anime, I imagine. Did you see a trailer for it?
Yeah, I did. Again, that was the thing with the Let's Party.
Oh, God.
And it looked pretty good other than that part, but we'll see.
Are we quietly optimistic?
Yeah. I suppose.
Someone has to be.
I mean, it's at least it's not Moe.
At least it's not Moe.
So, we need to start selling a t-shirt that says that on it.
I really like that idea, actually.
I can't believe it's not Moe.
I told you, I had that idea. It would be an anime girl, like almost like a 50s woman, holding like a butter tub, and it says on it, I can't believe it's not Moe.
I need a shirt that says crying fetish, because that seems to be the new joke.
If you would buy a shirt that says, "I can't believe it's not Moe," let us know. Well, we might make it. So, my next anime is Osaka Hamlet. And I picked this one because it has an interesting animation style. And it looks to be like a slice of life. Like, the mother is a hospital attendant and club hostess and raises her sons with their uncle. And then, like, there's a sixth grader and a cross-dresser, a punkish junior high schooler fascinated with Hamlet, and a high school in love with older woman and a father fixation. Like, it sounds like one of those, like, kind of messed up slice of life where they're just kind of, like, no holds bar. But I watched the trailer for it, and I'm like, oh my god, this looks like the stupidest thing ever. Why did I pick this? Like, I thought the animation would be quirky. It just kind of looks crappy. Like, it really, it doesn't even have a production studio, which makes me wonder if, like, it's, like, someone did it out of their, like, house.
Well, it's not listed with a studio, but it's gotta have a studio.
I don't know. It just looked really bad. I hope the story's amazing to carry it through, but, I mean, like, it at least has, like, the groundwork for, like, a good story, you know? Like,
it's one of those animes that looks like ass, and then it's going to freaking surprise the crap out of you.
I hope so. Like, I hope it's like My Neighbor's a Yamadas. Not that I'm saying it looks like ass, but just like with a very quirky animation style.
I need to take a minute.
Okay, I was explaining good. Myself.
Alright, you're good.
I'm not saying My Neighbor's a Yamadas look like ass. I think it's beautiful. But I'm saying it's a very quirky animation style, and like at least half the people who pick it up are like, oh my god, I don't want to watch this because of how the animation is.
That's what happened to me.
So, that's what I meant by it. But it could have a good story. I hope it surprises me for my sanity.
All right, so my third one's called Tono to Isho, and I was very confused by this anime for a couple reasons. First of all, it's the manga follows the humorous exploits of the generals during the Japan's tumultuous Sengoku period, which makes this the second anime about the Sengoku period. Pop star Gak plays the role of a voice actor in it as legendary warlord Kenshin Uesugi. The picture has like two warlords, and then a girl with pink hair in a high school swimming outfit holding an inner tube, and some crazy guy with blue hair and I think something crammed in his eyeball. I don't understand what the freaking hell.
It looks like very random. It really does.
I watched the trailer and it had Kenshin Uesugi kind of kneeling down in his like palace or whatever the heck, and they're just. And he has two of his, like, underling warlord people talking to him. And it looks very lighthearted and not serious for something about the warring periods. And I think this is kind of going to be, like... I'm trying to think... It's going to be, like... imagine Romance of the Three Kingdoms Dynasty Warriors as a comedy. Even though this is not the same thing, don't get me wrong. It's not even the same country, but... It's going to be the warring period of Japan with a humorous twist. And this anime is either going to suck, like, badly, or it's going to be incredible. It kind of makes me feel a little bit like, what's the anime that we liked? Trapeze.
Yes.
Because Trapeze...
Was on crack.
It was on crack, and at first I didn't know if it was going to be good or horrible, and it ended up being excellent. So I'm not going to count this one out, but at the moment I'm a little bit puzzled.
My third one is called Kuroshitsuji 2, which is a sequel to the first Kuroshitsuji. It's an anime about a 12-year-old English noble and his impeccably skilled butler, who also happens to be a demon. It's a demon butler. And as opposed to the first season, this season will introduce a butler. Wait, what?
What?
New characters.
Okay. As opposed to the first season, this one's going to be introducing new characters, like a butler named Claude Faustus and Master Alois Trancy as principal characters. So it looked really corny, but not in the sense of, like, frivolous, just in the sense of they're trying too hard to be dramatic. Like, it was one of those things where they show a clip of the boy the boy is Claude, the one, if you see a picture of this, there's a small boy with blonde hair, short blonde hair, and then the butler is, like, kind of Kiyoya looking, very tall, very poised, dark black hair, sort of glasses and stoic expression going on. But anyway, they'll show a clip of Claude, and he'll be like, or they show a clip of Alois, sorry, I got those backwards. The boy is Alois and Claude is the butler. They show a clip of Alois, and he's like, Claude, oh, please stay by my side, blah, blah, blah. And he's, like, crying, and he's, like, God. I don't know. And then the next shot will be him, like, skipping, all happy. Like, I don't know. It was weird. It was like they were trying to give you... all of the happy and dramatic moments to reel you in, but really it just made it look really awkward. I don't even know how to describe this trailer. Was just ridiculous.
Welcome to the entire first series.
Yeah, it was, maybe. It was a 4-minute trailer.
Damn.
Yeah. And it was just, it was very weird. Like, they were trying to throw in these tense moments where it was like, a shot of Alois with his hand over his face and his eyes, like, hidden by his hair, and he's like, why can't everyone just vanish into the darkness, and a tear falls down his face. And then the next shot, he's skipping from the front door of his mansion towards his butler, laughing about something and being like, Claude, la la, you know, it was weird. And the music was really awkward. It was very, like, creepy carousel sort of style with some attempts at classical music that aren't quite classical music.
I think Chiaki and I are very confused.
I'm confused. I don't know what the hell I just watched.
So it's like, it's an anime with a butler in it and shit happens. That sounds like it's the best way to...
That is Black Butler. That is exactly what it is.
with yaoi overtones.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much yaoi. Well, maybe.
Yeah, there's definitely yaoi overtones.
There was so much
in the first series that they can't possibly let that go. They lose their entire fan base.
I guess it's kind of like if you think about the yaoi overtones in something like Loveless, where the age difference is so great, but it still kind of happens anyway.
It's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, so that's what we got there. I honestly don't know. I was just kind of stunned into silence by the trailer. It's just weird shit, man. I don't know.
So, one that I'm not really... I mean, like, I guess I'm kind of neutral on this one. Seito Kai Yaku in Domo.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm neutral on it. I mean, it doesn't look horrible. It looks like it could have some comedic value, but that's probably because I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt.
You are so nice.
I'm trying.
Wait, I'm glad you're here. You're way nicer than me.
Yeah, you know, someone's got to do it, right? So it's about this this high school that's it's been recently gender integrated, and there's a boy in it who joins the student council as vice president, and there are like three other female student council officers, and it's like about his day-to-day adventures with them, basically. Sounds a little bit like Haruhi, almost, except not really. It won't be that good.
All I know is last time I watched an anime with the word Seito Kai in it, I wanted to kill myself.
Well, I'm hoping it doesn't happen, because I don't like wanting to kill myself. The art style looks okay. It's nothing that would bug me, so, I mean, I guess I could deal with it. Just hope it's not too absurd.
Alright, so, who's next?
Can I just say, I just counted, and 8 of the new animes either have school somewhere in their description or have a picture which implies that they are going to school or are in a school. 8.
That's almost half of them.
8.
That's a fetish.
Damn it.
I'm just saying, like, can we have grown-up anime?
Please.
So... the next one is Mitsudomoe, and Moe is in the name.
I'm so sorry.
But it's like, I don't know how I feel about this, because I want, like, it centers around, I'm reading from the description, Mitsudomoe centers around the comedic misadventures of the mischievous Marui triplets of Class 6-3, the precarious sadistic girl Mitsuba, the lecherous muscle girl Futuba, and the somewhat mysterious girl Hitoha. So we already have, like twins in there. Like, well, triplets. Well, so it's, like, twins plus one.
Just as a Japanese lesson, let's break down the title of this anime. You have the word Mitsu, which is Hitotsu Futatsu Mitsu, which means three. And then you have Do, which implies that the number counter.
Yeah.
So you have three of something. Moe.
So three Moe!
That's basically what it means. And that's your Japanese lesson for the day. You just got learned.
Yes.
Yes.
But I was watching the trailer for this, and literally, like, the first thing you see in the trailer is like, the three girls, and they all have, like, these really excited and confused expressions on their face, and there's, like, this glowing light, and then the camera pans around to the other side, like, from behind them, what they're looking at, and it's a man, and he just has this light glowing from his, like, penis. You don't actually see this, but it's... I'm like, what is this? And then, like, the next scene, a girl is, like, stepping on a guy's crotch. I'm like, I don't know. Like, even though it has Moe in the title, it actually kind of looks like it could be funny. And I know I'm not ripping on a Moe anime for once, but, like, maybe I'm just being hopeful, but it looks like it could be... I mean, they're, like, little kids,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, at least they're little kids and not, like, dumb high school girls.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's the thing. It's, like, they look... they're in class 6-3, so I'm guessing that's, like, the sixth grade? I don't know how Japanese schools work.
I don't think they're in...
But, I mean, it's at least, like... It at least looks like they're supposed to be in elementary school. They look tiny, and they have that kind of tiny, cutesy moe feature, but they're at least not supposed to be, like, 16 and look like they're 5. They're 5, and I think they're supposed to be, like, 5. So. Or maybe they're 5, and it's going to be, like, an Azumanga Daioh over there in, like, high school. I don't know. But it can't be as good as Azumanga Daioh.
All right, so I'm taking on my last one right now. It's called Amagami SS. I am literally going to, rather than just tell you about this anime, I'm going to... play the trailer and give you a play-by-play.
Do it.
It's a short trailer. So, there's stars flying at the screen. Oh, they're in warp drive, outer space. Oh, nope, it's a school. She's walking with a short skirt away from the camera. Oh, and she's walking into another classmate. And she waves. And the letter A comes up on the screen, and she's sitting on it.
It's two girls giggling. They gave the peace sign.
And now they're on the screen with the letter Ma.
She's walking up the stairs.
She looks back, afraid. Oh, it's the letter Ga, and she's hanging on it.
It's a girl who's sporty, and she's jogging on the beach.
And she's lying on the letter Me. And it's another girl. She looks older, and she's smiling. She's laying in the letter S. It's another girl. She's embarrassed, and her boobs are way too big. No, take my picture! And she's lying on the letter S. And there's one guy in the whole clip, and the girl jumps on his back, and what does she do? She bites his ear. Fade to white.
That's really what happens.
Ready? Give me an ah! Give me a ga! Give me a me!
Me!
Give me an SS!
SS!
What's that spell?
Shit!
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
I'm done.
Just like that?
That's all there is to it, I don't know.
I still have one more. Kimiko, do you have one more?
Yeah. I couldn't find a trailer for this one, but it's... You can pretty much tell exactly how it's going to be by the synopsis. It's Asobi ni Ikuyo, and it's about a high school freshman named Kyo Kakazu living in Okinawa.
No.
What?
That's what the title means. Like, let's go play.
Does it really?
Yeah.
All right, so the title of this anime is Let's Go Play, and it's about a high school freshman living in Okinawa, and during a memorial service for a family ancestor, a mysterious girl with cat ears appears before him, introducing herself as an alien called Eris, bringing trouble with her. And that anime is going to make me want to gouge my eyes out.
I can ask you a question.
Yeah.
Seems like that the cat girls are taking over the furriness. Like,
I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
There aren't
when I talk about this.
There aren't nearly enough dog girls and wolf girls, bunny girls nowadays. It's all cat girls.
That's not okay. Yeah.
And I have like a cat girl, dog girl, wolf girl fetish. I admit that, but I do like some variety in my fetish.
I'm gonna make a manga and I'm gonna call it Normal, and it's gonna be a 3 manga OVA. And it's going to be about the normal life of a normal high school student who nothing eventful happens to. They get up, they go to school, they go home, they do the dishes after dinner, they do their homework, and they go to bed. And that's going to be it.
After all of the shit that has gone on in the last couple of years in anime, people are going to eat that up, Chiaki.
Spell out.
Well, those are all the anime I'm watching this season. I'm going to have fun.
Are you done, Hitake?
I am done.
All right, Shiaki's not done. Shiaki's got the last one.
Okay, so just so our listeners know, we pick these in round robin. We pick these in round robin where we each get to pick one, or pick one or two, and then we go in order, and then we restart. That way it's not like the first person who gets to pick gets like all of the good ones and everyone else is stuck with crap. So, I was the last person in the rotation this time, because I think I went first last time, and it worked out for me. I did get a lot of good animes last season. But anyways, I was the last one, and everything else was taken, and I was like, well, what's there left? And I picked this anime based on the name that Campanella was in the title. I don't know why, but I liked that word. It's a classical word, right?
You should know better than to think that anime could capture the beauty of romantic period music.
I know. So it's called Chukufuku no Campanella.
Well, first of all, Campanella is Italian and it means little bells. I don't know what the hell Chukufuku means. It sounds like
I'm gonna find this out. Hold on. You can cut this space out, but I need to know.
Chukufuku means blessing. Alright, so it means the blessing of little bells.
Okay, which makes no sense because, alright, here's the summary. Urt Aria, wow, they're really getting original on these names. A city known as the Treasury of the World is preparing for a harvest festival. Leicester Maycraft, a young item technician of the Oasis clan, encounters a shooting star near the parties he's attending. Upon finding it, A girl appears before Lekester, calling him her father. So, I don't know. I don't even know what to make of that. It sounds like there's, like, a ton of shit going on just in the description. But, like...
Well, can you see the picture? There's, like, 100 girls in it, and they all have purple hair.
They don't... hey, that one is, like, magenta.
All right, sorry.
That one's purple. That one's more like a blue purple.
All right, okay. All right. It's purple, purple, blue, purple.
Red, purple.
And red, purple.
I'm sorry, that's more like yellow, and that's more like pink. But I watched the trailer for this. Vincent, what do you make of the trailer? You saw some of it.
I didn't even remember. I don't even remember. It was so uneventful.
It was just like, it was showing pictures of characters, and it would be like, the camera would pan in on them, and they'd pause, and they'd smile, and look at the camera, and then their name would appear, and that was like the whole trailer. It looks really stupid. I don't have anything else.
That's it. We're spent. Great stuff. I just want to say that after counting it out, Studio AIC really has their hands full. They're doing like almost a quarter of the animes this season. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing. And all their animes look like balls. That's like, listen, Studio AIC, you need to stop making shit. They're doing Amagami SS, which we thought sucks. Also being the Ikuyo, which we said is gonna suck. The Shukufuku no Kampanoa, which we know is gonna suck, and Strike Witches 2, which is notorious for having like Lolita shots in it. Yeah.
You mean Lolicon?
Lolicon, little girls with their nakedness. Okay, I'm spent.
So, those were the summer anime, and it's looking gloomy, folks. We're gonna head out for an anime news break once again and hopefully take this terrible taste out of our mouths.
Welcome back, everybody, to your second dose of anime news. The New York Anime Festival has announced that J-Rock's supergroup, Vamps, consisting of Larkian CL singer Hyde and Oblivion Dust guitarist Kaz, has announced that it is a guest for the 2010 event. The group will host a question and answer session and also will have a concert during the October 8th through the 10th weekend. This will be considered part of the group's 2010 World Tour, which will make stops in the US, Spain, France, China, and Chile. So I think that if you live in New York City, you will definitely not want to miss this anime festival. In other news, it seems that the Japanese studio Toei Animation, best known for Dragon Ball Z, has announced that it is going to be jointly producing a new Ikkyun-san anime film with the Chinese conglomerate Shanghai Media Group and SMG's Toonmax channel. Toei animated the original Ikkyun-san. This was when the studio was still known as Toei Douga. The story of Ikkyun-san is loosely inspired by the real life of a Buddhist monk who lived in the 15th century, but the anime imagines Ikkyun's childhood as a mischievous but clever monk in training at the Ankokuji Temple. In more performing artist news, it seems that the J-pop singer Himeka will attend Montreal's Otakuthon from August 13th to the 15th to perform and also to hold autograph sessions. For those of you who don't know who Himeka was, she sang the opening theme for the anime adaptations for the video game Valkyria Chronicles and also the ending theme for Letter B. She also most recently performed the ending theme for Senko no Nightmare. So for those of you that are fans of Himeka, please go visit her in Quebec and listen to her perform. So for those of you that were wondering what the status was on the live-action film Akira, it seems that in an interview, producer Andrew Lazar announced that his team has hired a new writer named Albert Torres to work with the director on the film. He also confirmed that the first film will cover Katsuhiro Otomo's first three Akira mangas, and the next three volumes will be covered in a second film, should the film be greenlit and be fortunate enough to have a second one made. So it seems that there's still being progress made on the film, so look forward to it in the future. That's it for your anime news for today. We'll get back to you next week. Enjoy the rest of the show.
blissful, blissful anime news break. And now we are moving on to some equally blissful reviews, starting with Mitsugi. What you got to review for us again?
I always think of the news breaks as like a palate cleanser. You know how when you get like a 5-course meal at a nice restaurant, how they give you the sorbet in between to kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Palate, so that's kind of...
But we certainly needed a palate cleanser after that list of anime. I know, I did.
Anyway, so I'm getting ready to take on an anime review that is very difficult, I think, and... I don't know, it's just kind of like a filler until next week when I will have animes from the last season to review. But I'm going to do Berserk, and this is a review that's very difficult, and I'm reviewing the anime only and not the manga, which is, of course, much longer and has much more content. Berserk is the story of Guts, a man who eventually is known as to be the Black Swordsman, and... Basically, the anime starts in the beginning as him as the Black Swordsman. You don't realize until the anime's finished that the first episode is actually the last episode of the series. Everything after the first episode you could count as like a flashback. So the whole thing, kind of, the whole anime kind of leads up to the beginning. It's weird. I would kind of recommend that you start at episode 1, watch that all the way through, and then at the end, watch the first episode again. Because that's kind of, that'll give you more closure to the series. Anyway, I will give a disclaimer, though, and say that the end of this anime is notorious for being one of the worst endings in all of anime.
I think we even talked about it before.
We've talked about it before. Everybody knows about it already. But that doesn't mean that Berserk is a bad anime. It has so many good things going for it. It's about a man named Griffith and his group of mercenaries called the Band of the Hawk as they rise through the ranks of their kingdom through the many successes that they have in battle. They become notorious for winning, and Griffith becomes well known for his strategy. And the Guts really fuels the anime, I think. He's one of the most badass characters you'll ever come across in any show. He becomes known as the 100-man slayer later on because he slays 100 men by himself. It's like 100 versus 1. He kills all of them. It's just some of the most ridiculous fight scenes you ever see. The art and the music of this anime really helped to set the tone for it. The art style is very dark. It's set in, like, medieval times, so there's, like, the most technological thing you're going to find in this anime is, like, a crossbow, basically. It's like swords, spears, axes, crossbows, horses, catapults, you know, boats, things like that. The art is very dark. It's set to kind of give you a feel for the atmosphere. The music is very unique, I think. It's got very strange, like distorted, ominous music that kind of makes you feel uneasy, I think, when it's playing. Except for the battle music, which is kind of upbeat and kind of helps set the pace for the battle. The music, despite that, is probably one of the weakest things about the show. But the show's absolute strongest point is the plotline. It doesn't have any filler in it. It's 26 episodes with no filler. You're not going to get that, like, aside from Escaflowne. They do cover a lot in this show. They go from Griffith's rise to, like, the higher up ranks of the army of the kingdom that he lives in the royal court, even though he's like, you know, not of royal blood, to you know, the eventual collapse and then like the rebirth, you could say. That being said, this is not really an anime for children. It's got some of the most intense violence I've ever seen in a show. It has sex in it, drugs. You got people being ripped in half. You've got torture. You name it. There's, almost like a rape scene in the end of it. But, there's also some homosexual undertones in it as well. There's some, like, you know, naked stuff going on between Guts and Griffith. It's not explicit or anything like that. And there's also some undertones later with Griffith kind of sells his body later on to one of the kings for funding. You know, like, you know, you can have sex with me and then, you know, you give me money to fund my mercenary army. The fight scenes in the show are excellent. They're very detailed. The beginning of the show is just awesome. Guts is a little kid. The show has a lot of growth in the characters. There's, like, they focus on a few of the characters in the show, and only a few, but you really get to see Guts grow from, like, a teenager to, like, a full-grown man who's, like, a ruthless badass in the show. But, like I said, the ending is absolutely terrible. Like, you're going to be really upset when you get to the end of it. But what you have to realize is that, you know, it's just like Hajime no Ippo, you know. They can't animate, you know, the 600 chapters or whatever it is. It's just going to just too much, especially at that level of animation. So what you need to do is you need to just stop and pick up the manga after you're done watching the anime if you want to finish the story. The only difference is that Hajime no Ippo finishes the anime in a way that kind of gives you closure, whereas Berserk doesn't. It just kind of leaves you confused and not really understanding. I don't want to give... This anime came out in 1997, so it's more than a decade old, but I still don't want to give away too many spoilers about it, even though a lot of people have seen it. I'll just say that a lot of people die in it. A lot of the main characters die. But I won't go into more detail than that. It really is one of the better animes of the 90s. I definitely think I would recommend it for anybody who can withstand a little bit of blood and violence. It's the atmosphere alone is just gripping. I'm going to give it 4.5 Zod the Immortals scales out of 5. It's a fantastic anime. It's a 5 out of 5. Locke is a 5 out of 5 if it has a better ending. You know, no one expects him to finish the whole show all in one, like, go, because to animate all the manga with that level of quality would just cost us a ridiculous amount of money. But, you know, they could have ended it a little bit more cleanly. I also say one more thing before I finish, that the end of the show has a very desperate feel to it. You get the sense of the hopelessness of the situation, and I think they did a really good job of portraying that in the show. I give them a lot of credit for that. So, that's my review of Berserk. So, let me pass it on to you, Kimiko. You can wrap us up with Wolf's Rain.
Sweet. Like you said, I'm doing Wolf's Rain, and I really enjoyed Wolf's Rain. Like, there's just so much win in this series. The animation style, the music, the characters, the dub, the sub, which I rarely say, but I watched the sub first, and the sub was brilliant. But they both were. It's just an all-around magnificent anime, despite the ending, which I'll try not to give too much away. But basically, your general plot is a little bit confusing to explain. It's one of those things you kind of have to watch to understand, because there's so much to it. But your general themes are basically, it's in the some odd distant future, and it's common knowledge around this time that all wolves have been extinct for some odd 200 years. But wolves aren't just animals in this, you know, world setting. They're something more than that. They're something more mystical and more dangerous. But it seems that wolves haven't really disappeared, but have rather kind of taken human form to assimilate into society and have hidden from humans, because humans would try to wipe them out. And it starts off in this city that's very, you know, very dark, very lacking in leaves and plants and trees and grass. It's all cement and metal and decay and darkness, and it's kind of like if you could imagine a really, really rundown part of a downtown area of a big city. That's what the entire place, or this entire section of this world looks like. And our main character Kiba, who's a lone wolf, wanders into the city trying to follow this scent that's supposed to lead whoever follows it to paradise. And this is kind of a main theme for all of the wolves. They all kind of subconsciously know that if you follow this scent, it'll lead you to paradise. And wolves are said to be the only ones who can find paradise. That's like an urban legend that most humans don't even believe anymore. So he kind of accumulates a pack being in this city. And the pack consists of Sume, who's kind of like... He it's hard to describe Sume. He's badass, but in that I can't let anybody else trust me sort of way. And you can tell that he kind of wants to get closer to people and help them, but all of the people that he was, you know, the gang that he was leading while he was in the city couldn't know that he was a wolf because nobody would trust him, and nobody would be able to be around him anymore, either from fear or because they would try to get him caught or get him taken away. And all the attempts that he's had to try to save the people from his gang from being hurt or something has either gotten them killed or frightened them beyond, you know, being able to be saved by him. So he's just kind of like a loner in his own right, or he tries to be until he stumbles across another character who joins the pack later on named Toboy, who's my personal favorite because he's just so adorable. He's kind of like a little boy. I guess he'd kind of be around like 15 years old. I thought he was a girl for most of it, but he starts showing the softer side of Sume, because Sume kind of takes him under his wing a little bit, even though in the beginning he pretends that he doesn't want to. And Toboy is very much like, his fondest memories are the memories that he had when he was owned as a pet, because the woman who owned him was really nice and really sweet and owned him from when he was a puppy and took care of him until she was, you know, an older woman. And he looks back on those memories as like the best times in his life, even though he can't have them anymore. And all of the other wolves think he's crazy for wanting to be held in captivity like that, but that's all he knew. And then the other final member of their pack is Hige, who's kind of like the comic relief, and he's the perverted one and the crass one and the one who's just there to make everybody laugh and everybody smile, when really he's the one with like the darkest past, because he doesn't really remember where he came from. And once he starts to remember, it's really a horrible, horrible past that he had. But anyway, they all get together and they all find the source of this scent in this girl named Cheza, who she appears to be kind of like asleep in like the suspended animation lab when they find her, and this organization is kind of using her for experiments to figure out what she is, and she kind of like leads the wolves to her and stuff, and they break her out and they start on this epic adventure to find paradise, which was so much more complicated. I tried to make it simple, but I couldn't. Which is, I guess, testament to the fact that this anime is so crazy, crazy complex with so many, you know, subplots and character-driven moments and scenes that I can't even begin to describe without giving so much away, because it's all interconnected. So I guess I'll focus on a little bit more. Like I said, the character dynamic between the four of them is just brilliant. I mean, they're all so different, and they managed to create this pack that's just so filled with different emotional levels and different understandings and dynamics, and on an individual level and on a group level, there's so much to them, and you don't want them to be apart. Even when they, you know, they separate occasionally throughout the series, you want them to be in that pack, whereas in the beginning you're like, why the hell are these four people together? They fix that towards the middle and then continuing on through the end of the series. The music is absolute brilliance, of course, because it's done by Yoko Kanno. Yeah. And she is, I believe we have said before, she vomits beautiful music.
It's just a weird way to say it.
I don't know if we've said it on the podcast before, but that's what we've definitely used to describe Yoko Kanno's
watch the studio and opens her mouth and it's just like bleh. But instead of it's like a symphony.
It's basically like, instead of the sound of vomit, it is in beautiful, beautiful music, which is, you know, no exception for Wolf's Rain. She's used the same vocalist as she has for other things like Cowboy Bebop, Steve Conte, and he's the one who does the opening song Stray, and as well as a couple of other songs throughout the series. And her instrumental pieces are gorgeous and intense and beautifully written. And it just, you know, it adds that extra layer of a beauty to the anime in general. The animation style is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the scenery, even it's an interesting thing when, even though the scenery is so dark and desolate and just should be ugly, they make it beautiful in the detail that they put into all of that scenery. They just, it feels like a real place that you're just trapped in, which is really cool. And not to mention that the animation style for the wolves is absolutely gorgeous. Watching them go from wolves to humans and back again, it's just really, really well done. And,
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
I know you explained that they became humans to assimilate, but do you feel that it's like a twist on the old kind of werewolf story?
No, actually. Like, I thought about that at first, that it was kind of like, oh, they're half human, half wolf, but they're not. That's what makes it weird, is they're kind of just, wolves aren't what we think wolves are in our world. They're kind of more mythological creatures, even though they're just wolves. It's not so much that they're actually turning into humans as they're putting on like a glamour or an illusion so that when people see them walking around, they think they're humans. So it's kind of like a trick of the mind, more so than them actually growing legs and arms and...
Okay, that makes sense. And then that's significantly, I agree, like a lot less werewolf and more of a different kind of take on it. Okay.
Oh yeah, no, it was very well done, where it could have been a complete disaster taking something like that as such a pivotal subplot for the whole series, but it worked out really well. And there's so much that happens later on that I can't even begin to describe because it's just so complicated, but it makes perfect sense when you're watching it. Some questions, I'd like to say that some questions weren't answered, but I don't think they were that important because I can't really remember what those questions are anymore. The ending, I don't know if I should go too in depth with it, but the ending ruined a lot of people's takes on the anime. I don't think it ruined it completely. I think it was still really, really sad. Like, there was a lot of crying involved when I watched the last maybe 5-6 episodes of this series. And the final moments of the anime were kind of like a toss-up where either you loved it or you hated it. I hated it. But you can see what they were trying to get at, and I can understand how they would use that to wrap everything up. And I can't really hold it against them too much. I just didn't particularly like the way they went with it. But in general, this anime was very, very well done, and I adored it. It came out in 2004 in the U.S. It was made in 2003. So it's not too old of an anime, so I'm not going to, like, spoil anything for you, but I do think that you guys should watch it, because it's definitely worth it. And it's not long. It's only a 26-episode series. No second season. Just straight up 26 episodes. I think I would give this legit a 4.5 Lunar Flowers out of 5. I really liked Wolf's Rain.
Even with the bad ending?
Even with the bad ending. I mean, everything else was so perfect. And the ending wasn't so much that it was, like, bad as it was just something I didn't particularly enjoy.
Oh, I see. Well,
It was very well done. It's kind of like the ending of Lost, where you either love it or you hate it. But it was perfect in its own right. Like, that was the only way the series could have ended, but just some people just didn't enjoy that it ended that way, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, 4.5 Lunar Flowers out of 5, and that is that. That was our wonderful, wonderful podcast.
Wow, we reached the end.
We've reached the end again. So again, you can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, nerdnexus.com, and addnetwork.net. And our outro song for this evening is going to be Everyday Sunshine Line by Natsuko Aso from the anime Ichiban Ushiro no Daimyo. So I hope
hope you enjoyed our wonderful episode of Wonder.
And you're kicking that Japanese butt.
Yeah, you really are.
Thank you.
Huzzah.
I try.
Good night, everybody. Hope that if you're listening and you had an interview done at SuperCon that you forgot to hear yourself.
If not, we're sorry I got messed up. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Until next time. Yeah.